Praise God. Praise God. Okay, y'all get ready. Get your Bibles out. Didn't these musicians do an awesome job today? Absolutely awesome job. Now, what I'm going to do is we're going to stand up and we're going to pray, but I'm not going to read the scripture right off the bat. Okay, I'm going to read the scripture after a couple of slides because I'm going to have it written up there several times. And so instead of reading it multiple times while you're standing up, I just want you to stand up. We're going to pray, and then you can be seated. Okay? And this is a surprise. We pray first, that way you won't run out while we're praying. God is so good. All the time. Everybody stand up. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your covenant that you have made with us, Lord, and you do not break your covenant. If something has been gone wrong, it's not you that broke the covenant. It's us. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, Father, to do unto you as you would have us to do. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Y'all go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Look at somebody and tell them that if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. All right, you can be seated. Now, how many would say you read the Bible like you should? Somebody's got to raise a hand somewhere. Yeah, I was in a young group, a youth class one night, and I said, if you think you're going to go to hell, will you please hold your hand up? And finally, one of the kids held her hand up, and I said, why are you holding your hand up? He said, we didn't want you to be the only one. Thank you for your concern. Amen. All right, see us. 10 signs you may not be reading your Bible enough. Y'all want to write these down because this will help you know if you've been reading your Bible enough. Ready? Number one, the preacher announces the sermons from Genesis, and you check the table of contents. I know, it gets better. It gets better, trust me. Okay. Okay. Number nine, you think Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob may have had a few hit songs during the 60s. I told you it gets better. You gotta roll with it, okay? Okay. You open the Gospel of Luke and a World War II savings bond falls out. I tell you, it's going in the right way. Y'all just keep bringing it down. You got to laugh a little bit. If you laugh, it'll be easier on everybody. Okay. All right. Your favorite Old Testament patriarch is Hercules. See, it's getting better. All right. A small family of woodchucks have taken up residence in the Psalms of your Bible. I told you, it's getting better, I hope. Okay. You become frustrated because Charlton Heston isn't listed in either the concordance or the table of contents. See? Hang with me. It's getting there. Okay. You believe the epistles are the wives of the apostles. Okay. You think the minor prophets worked in the quarries. Miners, quarries. Okay, here we go. I got to be careful with this. Ready? You keep falling for it every time when the pastor asks you to turn to the First Condominiums. Okay, one more, I promise. Do not throw anything. If you do, make sure that it's live fruit. Do not throw canned fruit. Ready? The kids keep asking too many questions about your usual bedtime story. Jonah the shepherd boy and his ark of many colors. Okay, I got you. Okay, that's enough. Somebody say that's enough. Yeah. Okay. Now this week I actually Because after the rapture, the next thing in Revelation 4 is heaven. And I wanted to show the open door of heaven, and that would be a great thing for back to basics, except for this is after the rapture. So if I was going to go back to basics on heaven, I would do something besides the rapture. And so, or after the rapture. So I kept thinking about it, but at the same time, the Lord just kept dealing with me about each month, the back to basics is themed on what's going on. Of course, stewardship was number one in January. February was love. We had Valentine's Day. March, we talked about the cross because it was Easter. Okay. However it goes, whatever months ago. And so, how many know what's the 15th of this month? What happens on the 15th of May? Tax day. Yeah. So I honestly, I began looking and thinking about it and I prayed about it. And so, welcome to Back to Basics. Amen. Why should I tithe? The purpose of the 10%. And back to basics, what's the deal about tithing anyway? And this is part one, so there's going to be a part two. Amen. Part one, what's the deal about tithing anyway? And so I'm going to let you sit there as we start reading some scriptures. You're not going to have to get up like you normally do. I'll let you stay right there because we are going to read some scriptures and they may get kind of long. So here, let me just get on into this, okay? How many know that God operates through principles, always? He doesn't just throw it out there and you figure it out. You know, like trying to drive down Highway 264 on a four lane, now people think that they don't need signal lights anymore. Have you noticed that? People don't use signal lights. And do you also know when I was a teenager, if we backed into a parking spot, the police would stop us and make us turn the car around. I got stopped one night and said, "You cannot back in that parking space, sir. You have to drive in." I said, "Why do you have to drive in?" "Because we need to be able to see your license tag. And in case of emergency, we need to see all this." I said, "Okay." Well, now people back in, and only they don't back in, there's two lines. Those lines are not suggestions. And I went to Walmart the other day, and of course, I'm waiting to get in while a guy, bless his heart, he could barely see, he couldn't see over the steering wheel. He was looking through the steering wheel, and he decided to back in. And so he had to get up, on his knee on the back of the seat. When he finally got in, he took my parking space and his too. And then I park on the next side of that, and somebody else comes out, and there's a shopping cart place that holds shopping carts. Two cars down from me. The person beside me did not even put it in there, instead rolled it up against the side of my car. And I thought about that thing. I said, this is the snowflake generation that we live in. Okay? Just do our own thing and just let it rip. And the sad part is, as we're doing our own thing and not following any principles, it creeps into the church. And as the church gets moving and without principles, remember, God doesn't just dilly-dally and just takes a bucket on Sunday morning and says, "Okay, I got an assorted blessings here, and I'm just going to throw them out like a pinata, and whoever can scrape up the most blessings, you win." That's not how it works. God is an on-time God. God is a precise God. He works through precision. That's why His Word is so powerful and why His Word is put together the way it is. It's all through precision. And so because of that, He has principles. And His principles challenge us. We live in the COVID era right now. In the COVID era, there's businesses that are shut down. There's people that have not been able to go to work because of COVID. Now they're starting to let them go back to work. And some people are very much hurting because of this, but the economy's been hurting, and I don't know how in the world we're going to pay back all this, what they're doing now. I have no idea how they're going to pay it all back. But our children are going to be punished for our lack of principles. Okay? So now, and I'm not here to argue politics. That's just common sense. Okay? If you empty the kitty and then borrow another kitty and empty it and then borrow somebody else's kitty and empty that, pretty soon you got a stable full of empty kitties and somebody got to pay for the kitty. Okay? So all this is going on, COVID. And so, what about God's people? What about us? Are we going to get caught up in the same thing? Waiting for some individual, some party, or somebody to take care of us? Or are we going to go by the principles of God's Word? If you go by the principles of God's Word, God told us if we do it His way, it is the right way. If we do it His way, good things are going to happen. And so because of that, His principles always challenge us. Okay? They always challenge us. I can't even remember a principle that God gave me did not challenge me first. And because they challenge us, our faith in God and our faith in His principles determines our actions and our attitudes toward His challenge. Amen? Everybody with me? Okay, so how many know the COVID era has challenged us? Amen? And not only the COVID era challenged us, it changes the way we think. It changes the way we do things, the way we do business. You know, so many things have changed because of COVID. And honestly, it is actually hard to keep up with the changing things all the time. I feel like there's windshield wipers, one of the blades off, and I'm trying to figure out what they're doing this week, and the problem is now the rubber's off of one of the windshield wipers and they're scraping my windshield. I don't ever know what to do. We walked outside yesterday, Linda and I, and we just, the new mandate, you don't have to wear a mask outside. We go outside, nobody's wearing a mask. I was wearing my mask, and as I'm wearing my mask, I'm looking, somebody's not wearing theirs, and I said, well, I'm so confused now, I don't know whether to wear a mask or what. You know what I thought about doing is get me some white paint and paint me a mask. And just keep my mouth shut. That ain't going to work, is it? Okay. So here's the challenge. God has His challenge. God knew when He issued this challenge that COVID was coming. Matter of fact, when He issued this challenge, it was a whole lot worse than it is now. It was 1,000 times worse than it is now. It was bad. I mean, somebody say bad. It was worse than bad. So He issues this challenge. So let's watch this now. Watch this carefully. This is the only principle where God gives us the opportunity to challenge Him back. Whew. Wow. He offers us a principle and He challenges us to challenge Him back. Wow, isn't that awesome? He boldly says, in the scripture we get ready to read, I know y'all know where we're at now, we're in Malachi. He says, prove me. Now we're going to dig down in this a little bit, but in order to really dig it deep and to really help somebody, especially if you're having trouble in this COVID area and COVID is strangling your faith and COVID is strangling your commitment and COVID is strangling your covenant with God, when we get through this, I hope that in some areas of your life, it will release the stranglehold. Okay? So here we are. This is really, really good. See, he said prove means to test. It means, especially when you're testing metals. How do you test metals? You test metals several ways. One way is put them in extreme heat. They have to be forged and put in a furnace to test metals. Another way, he says, when we go to heaven, and when we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb, we're going to be happy that we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to love that. And we're going to love the thought that we're going to be not going to be judged going to heaven or hell, but we're going to be judged then for our works. And he says when you're being judged for your works, he's going to judge our works by what? By fire. So when we get to heaven, we're going to be in heaven. We're not going to hell because we went to the rapture. We're up there with God. We're at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he will test. We're at the Bema Seat of Christ now, which is where, in the Olympics, the three guys, the gold medal and bronze, they stand up on the Bema. That's called the Bema. And in the Greek, it's the Bema Judgment Seat of Christ. Well, we'll find out if we're on the gold, or the silver, or the bronze. But he's going to try us, our works, by fire. And when the fire hits our works, if our works were just to please us, if our works were just to make us look big, if we were just doing it for a show, remember spiritual show and tell, if we're just doing that, guess what's going to happen? It's going to burn off behind us. You know, I know a few people, honestly, and I'm being judgmental. God, please forgive me. But all they ever talk about is me, and my, me. You know, I remember I told you about this kind of people that they go, okay, enough of me talking about me. You talk about me for a while. And I think, oh, when they get to heaven, when they go to the beam of judgment seat, they're going to look like a comet when they're tested by fire and it burns off the works because the works are done just for a me. How great I am. How great I am. Everybody sing it with me. How great. No, don't. So look, especially metals. It means to investigate. To investigate. If I'm going to investigate something, that means I'm going to look under every rock. I'm going to look over everything. I'm going to check things out thoroughly when I investigate. So he says, I want you to test me by fire. I want you to investigate me. I want you to turn over every rock. I want you to kick every pebble out of the way. I want you to see that I'm a covenant God and I keep my covenant. And he's not wearing a mask. And the governor can't tell him what to do. You should be shouting now. God is in control. Total control. Okay, so now watch this. And no, I'm not saying we can't follow what the governor says. Please, I want the Christians to be following the governor so that we will give glory. He said we're going to give glory to God by rendering under Caesar's what Caesar's. Amen? Well, watch this. Here we go. God tells us, you take care of his business, and he'll take care of yours. Wow. That's a promise. I didn't make that up. It sounds cool, but that's not. Listen, you take care of God's business, and God will take care of you. So let's go ahead and read this. Okay, I told you I wanted you to sit down, because this is long. Malachi 3:6-12. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you were gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. See, he's just challenging again. You haven't done what I said, but even though you haven't done what I said, if you'll turn around and start heading back my way, I'll meet you. Saith the Lord of hosts, but ye said, wherein shall we return? And then he goes, okay, let's just start right here. You want to know where you left me off on the side of the road? You want to know where you took the left turn at Albuquerque? You want to know where things went south? You want to know where things went crazy? I'm going to tell you, not me, him, right here. Will a man rob God? Whoa. There have been times when I come into church, I should have been wearing a mask before COVID. And when the ushers come by, I should have said, stick them up. Because I was robbing God. Matter of fact, please don't take it wrong. Don't take it bad. Don't get mad at me. If you do, that's okay. We'll all get over it. Is it possible that some of you are carrying stolen goods in your pocket? Wow. If you can hear the pin drop. Is it possible? This is not my word. I'm not making this up. This isn't something I just pulled out and said, let's do this. And this isn't about the church. It's about you and COVID and getting through COVID and getting through all this stuff. Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Wait a minute. You said the storehouse might not be church. Wait a minute. He said, bring the tithes to the storehouse, which is actually the treasury, where there might be meat in my house. What's his house? We're in it. And prove me now, herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall be not room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of the ground, neither shall the vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And the nations shall call you blessed, and you shall be a delightsome land. I like being delightsome. Delightsome. Wasn't it Frank Sinatra? Was it Bing Crosby? Not Bing Crosby. It was one of the Rat Pack. They're delightful. Okay. All right. Now I want to read it again from the Message. Let's just read a little version of it. I am God. Yes, I am. I haven't changed. And because I haven't changed, you, the descendants of Jacob, have not been destroyed. Meaning, even though we're going in the wrong direction, he still hadn't destroyed us. Wow. Isn't that mercy? Isn't that grace? You have a long history of ignoring my commands. You haven't done a thing I've told you. Return to me so I can return to you, says God of the angel armies. Let me get over here. You got to see it too. That's right. Y'all need to see it. Return to me so I can return to you, says the God of the angel armies. You ask, but how shall we return? Number one, begin by being honest. Do honest people rob God? Do you rob me day after day? You ask, how have I robbed you? The tithe and the offering. That's how. And now you're under a curse, the whole lot of you, because you're robbing me. Bring your full tithe to the temple treasury, so there will be ample provisions in my temple. Test me in this, and see if I don't open the heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams. For my part, I will defend you against the marauders and protect your wheat fields and vegetable gardens against the plunderers. The Message of the God of the angel armies. You will be voted happiest nation. You'll experience what it's like to be a country of grace. God of the army of angels says so. Now I want you to see something here. We're gonna get along here. Get ready. We're gonna start weaving this together. Okay. Watch the timing. It's amazing to me. It's God's last message before the 400 silent years. Wow. Whoa. This is his last message before he does this. You heard say, put up or shut up. He was saying, well, until you put up, I'm going to shut up. Wow. It's the last message. He gives it to his people and says, y'all need to get back in there. You need to get back to the principles. You need to get back studying and remember my word and doing what I said. And you got to get back in there like it's supposed to be. And when I'm talking to you now, I'm not talking to you as some mean guy out here beating you over the head. I'm here as a pastor trying to show you that although COVID has affected us, it doesn't have to get us. Okay? It doesn't have to totally shut us down. So get ready. So the timing. And then there's trouble. But the Bible says, let me get my book back out here, make it easier. If I can just read it, read it to you. Well, I'll just read off of it. Hold on, I got a better idea. It's in here, I'll just read it right here. Praise God. Isn't God good? All right. So 6-7, he says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers are you gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you say, well, where shall we return? So the very first thing he's talking about is you need to get yourself back into spiritual shape. Do you think when Holyfield fought Mike Tyson, he just walked up and fought him? Or do you think that he trained first? Trained. On your job, have you got certain things you do in your job that you couldn't do until you were trained? And if you tried to do it before you received the proper training and without the proper information, you really did a pretty poor job. But once you got the information, once you got the training, once you understood with the manual, then you know that you got this. Because now you've got the information in front of you. That's what he's saying. You need to get yourself, get back to my word, get back to my ordinances, so you can get yourself back into spiritual shape. Then he takes it a little further. He says, and while you're at it, when you're getting back in spiritual shape, I want you to put me back in first place. I'm just going to ask it. I'm not even going to look at anybody. Let me ask you a question. Is God first place in your life? Okay, I'll take my hands down. You see, God wants to be first in our life. Period. Period. If He's first, then He will bless your marriage. He will bless your family. And say there won't be problems, but He will bless you in those problems. He'll bless your job. He'll bless all if He's first. The problem was, He was no longer first. He said, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, where have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." Wow. So you're out of shape, and God's not even first anymore. But you want His blessings. And you want His protection. And you want Him to show Himself strong in your life when you need Him. And so, watch this. Let's go a little bit further now. Watch. He's saying there's a promise coming when the silence breaks. And let me read. Now I do need to get my Bible out. I'm going to read you about the promise that's coming. Once the silence breaks, once He gets back on track, once the people get back on track, something special is going to happen. Get ready. Okay. The Bible says in verse 5, and this is the last words of the last promise. "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." He's talking about John the Baptist. So when the silence breaks, how do we know the silence breaks and things are getting ready to go in a better direction? You got John the Baptist bringing things back on in their spiritual drought. So now, let's go a little further. I'm not going to keep you really long today because I only got a couple more slides. Next week, we're going to go a little bit deeper. All right. So now, the tithe. Let's talk about the tithe. Look at this. See that dollar? Broke up in 10 pieces. 10% goes to God. It's a tenth part. And He says, "I want you to bring the whole tithe," which is the whole 10%. The storehouse. Now, let me just stop there for a second. It's some powerful stuff. It is so, so powerful. Because instead of tithing, sometimes we don't tithe God, we tip God. You may be fine with it, but there's somebody else that's watching that's not. It's not me. I have no idea who gives what. Not me. It's not the clerk. Nope. There's somebody watching that's not pleased when you tip them. We just read it. God. He said, "You tip me? You don't do what I ask you to do? There's problems coming." So now, in any generation, this holds true. They were going through some bad stuff, and they were having Roman occupation, Greek occupation, Roman occupation. The temple was trying to be restored, and soon the temple's going to be destroyed again, and all this stuff's going on. And so God is telling His people, you know, you think you got it bad, it can get worse, but here's part of the problem, and we'll talk about it next week, is you quit tithing, and at most you're tipping. And this is not me talking. I don't have a horse in that race with you. I don't have a dog in that hunt. I'm responsible for me and me only. Okay? But He said, if you don't, it makes Him angry. Wow. Wow. So now, again, I'm telling you as a pastor, I'm trying to tell you because as crazy as this economy is, we need something that we know we can count on. You can't count on the banks. You can't count on Congress. You can't count on anything in Washington, D.C. You can't count on anything in Raleigh. You can't count on anything but one thing. And that's who's on the throne. Amen? So now, watch this. Let's go a little bit further. Here's how he does it. This is so cool. He don't just say, I remember at Fountain, and I hear it all the time now. I hear it, and I even say it to people sometimes. Bill Chavender, y'all know Bill Chavender, everybody know Bill Chavender? If Bill Chavender ever called me in a meeting and something was going wrong, it didn't matter, virtually it didn't matter what it was, except for maybe rebuilding engines. I didn't rebuild engines, but if it was any kind of projects or anything like that, no matter what the problem was, he would turn around. I even sometimes hated to go to these meetings because he would turn around, he would look at me and smile, and he'd say, "Handle it, David. Here, just handle it." In other words, I don't want to talk about it. You just handle it. And so there went my next project on top of another project. Just handle it. Just handle it. Well, let me tell you something. That's not how God did this. Just handle it. He's specific. He says, bring all the tithe. Now again, let's just stop and dig a little bit. Bring. That's a voluntary thing. He's not holding a gun to you. Remember telling you about D.C. when we started our first church and we had not had hardly any kind of money coming in on the plate at all. And one day we come in, he comes, and D.C. was the usher. He was like 5 or 6 years old. He comes up and the plate is full of money. And I went, "Whoa!" And then all of a sudden he puts a little gun and lays it on top of the offering plate. He had gone down the aisle and held a gun on everybody. I said, "Son, we don't do that anymore, okay? I'm glad you're an usher. I'm glad you're helping me. But dude, put the gun away, okay? This is called offering, not extortion, okay?" "No, will a man rob God? No, but the pastor's son will rob you." All right. Specific. Bring all the tithe. Specified into the storehouse. Now, this word here, storehouse, is really awesome. Again, I hear people say, "Well, I can pick this, blah, 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 blah." Well, go ahead. That's fine. If you and God are fine, I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to give you what the Word says. That's all I can do is give you what the Word says. What you do with it is you and God. Remember, I ain't got a dog in your hunt. I got a dog in my hunt, and I want my dog to be barking when he needs to be barking and do what he got to do when he needs to be doing. Amen? Okay, so now. Bring all the tithes to the storehouse. Now, that's treasury, but I'm going to tell you another word it means. I love this. It literally, I'm telling you, one of the Hebrew meanings of this means Brandon's the storehouse right now. Watch this. When you bring your tithe to the storehouse, what another word in the Hebrew means literally make him. Give him the responsibility of being a treasure over what I own. Wow. I'm not just bringing, don't forget, I want that back. Matter of fact, I'm going to get it right now. I'm going to put that into Brandon Richards' lunch fund. All right. What it's doing is you're transferring authority from me to God. Wow. How many's ever heard that? I'm not just giving something to God. I'm transferring my authority. If I were king of the forest. David Linton's a smart man at times. You don't believe him. Ask him when he's in the shower singing. He can sing and he can think of everything in the world in the shower. When you turn the water off, the brain stops. Well, watch this. I transfer my authority to God to handle it. Wow. Isn't that that awesome? I'm saying, God, I trust you enough. Then when I bring it to the storehouse, I'm actually saying, God, I want you to be in control, not me. You. With COVID, guess what? I don't need to be in control. I can't even keep up with my mask. I had to tie a dog chain on it to keep up with it. all this stuff going on. God, thank you. So specific. Specify the storehouse. And then, watch this. Special. That there might be meat in my house. I say, there goes, we say, where's the storehouse? His house. See, storehouse is actually the treasury, and his house is actually the house of worship. So there's a house of worship, and there's the treasury. And what you're doing is you're going, I'm in your house, I'm bringing it, you're not coercing me, you're not holding a gun on me, DC don't have a gun on me. I'm giving it because I know not only that I want to please God, but I want to transfer my authority to God. Wow. That's powerful. That's one of the most powerful principles if you get that. So again, watch. This is so cool. That there may be meat in my house. That word meat means fresh meat. Okay? That's why he wants the tenth, the first part. Fresh meat, not just meat. You know, I remember I've been working at church sometimes. Y'all know it too. You're working at church, or when I used to live in the parsonage by the church, people come up and go, watch this. They got a bunch of stuff on the back of their truck, and they'll do this. I've heard it 1,000 times. They pull up and go, Pastor, I was on the way to the dump, and I thought the church may could use some of this. Whoa. You're on the way to the dump with what you consider trash. No good, broken down, can't be fixed. But you wouldn't stop by and see if the church could use any of the trash that's broken down and don't work and can't be fixed. What? He said that there may be fresh meat, fresh food in my house. Wow, that's a powerful, powerful stuff. Matter of fact, Proverbs 3:9, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all your increase. With the first fruit. The first fruit. First fruit and tipping is two different things. Okay? So now watch. And again, I don't have a horse in your race. Oh, do you know last night the horse that won the Kentucky Derby initially was sold for $1,000? Some of those horses are sold for $50,000, $100,000, $1 million, $20 million. The horse that won last night was sold for $1,000. They thought that it was little and small and couldn't do anything, but little bitty David showed all them Goliaths just what he could do. Amen. His name was Moderna. That one sounds like Medea, and that one sounds like the stuff I took for the flu. Yeah. That's why I saw that and said Medea. I said, you go ahead there, son. Get on up there. All right. The whole tithe. I'm going to take it even further. Because we were doing it back and forth. We were doing stewardship. And stewardship is connected with the whole tithe because, again, time, talent, treasure. So not only is God wanting the first fruit of my increase, but also, how much time do you give him? Talent. Maybe you can't get up here and sing, but hey, you don't have to sing to have talent. Some type people's talent. I watch Vicky and the ladies out there in the yard. That's talent. I mean, I can't plant anything and make it grow. I got so tired of killing flowers in my front yard, I put plastic flowers out there, and they died. My brother has a green thumb. I got a black thumb. I watch Vicky out there doing that stuff, and other ladies out there. That, you know, that's a talent. And God likes that. He loves that. Because it's making his house look nice and appealing to people. Amen? Even looks like somebody cares. Wow, that's a biggie. Amen? Instead of somebody will do it. You know, I was in food line one day. And a couple was over here checking out something. I don't know what it was, but they were checking out something on the shelf. And I happened to walk by, and I know it was a God moment. He let me hear this. As I'm getting by them, he drops something on the floor. And they start walking away. And his wife says, pick that up. He says, why? They hire people to do stuff like that. What I wanted to do and what I saw in the back of my mind was walking up behind him and going, and say, did I just turn that light on, bud? You dropped it. You pick it up. Your mama don't work here. Amen. So, here we go. Here it is. Matter of fact, when I was looking at this scripture, these are the three words that came to me right here. These are three words. Prove. Prove me herewith, says the Lord of hosts. The challenge was not God punishing them. They were punishing them. See, that's what you don't understand. We want to blame God when things go bad. Not realizing that sometimes it's not God. Get ready. This is an eye-opener, I hope. I hope somebody goes, boom, oh, there you go. Sometimes it's not God punishing you. It's you punishing yourself. Woo! Things aren't going right. Things are falling in the hole. Things are going on. We're going to talk about it next week, what happens. But again, here it is, and things are going bad, and you're saying, God, why are you punishing me? I can see God now. It's like when I'm feeding my dog. The dog keeps wanting more food. I go, there's nothing in my hand, Inky. The same way. Well, God, why are you punishing us? And God's going, it's not me, dude. I think the King James Version is, why don't thou looketh in thy mirroreth? Punishing ourselves. So God here, we just read it, the challenge was not God proving them, but God challenged them to prove Him. Whoa! You think God will say, hey, I'm going to prove you? No! God gives them a challenge and says, now y'all prove me. Wow, that's a father for you. Instead of I'm going to beat you up, quit beating yourself up, follow my challenge, and watch what I'll do. Wow. Then the promise. I will not, it's just a fancy way of saying I will, okay? So don't think you're saying I'm not. I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall be no room enough to receive it. In other words, there was change for the good as long as the good would change. Again, why are you doing this? God is going, it's not me. Wouldn't it be neat to come and walk with somebody at work and they got a hold of a pair of vice grips and they're tightening it down on their finger going, help me! Honestly, if I come with somebody and they had a pair of vice grips and they were tightening them up going, help me, help me, help me! I'd go tighten them up even more. Some of us have got a vice grip, a spiritual vice grip on us. And we're being squished and we're going, help, help! But we got our leg out there kicking the handle the other way. Righty tighty, lefty whitey, righty. Empower. I'm going to go there. I'm going to take you there in a different way right now. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy. Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. I did my tithe, I did my stuff. And it didn't just say tithe and offering. There's a difference in tithe and offering. Did you know that? Tithing is 10%. That's clear, marked. God said it, I didn't. 10%. First fruit. Offering is free will. Offering is a gift, it's a present. So there's a difference. You know, because of the covenant, I do the tithe. But because of my love for God, I give the offering. Two different things. Two entirely different things. One, God made a covenant with us. With the tithe. He said with tithe and offering, so you're still robbing him. But the offering, he didn't put a limit on the offering. He put a limit on the tithe, but he didn't put a limit on the offering. He said, so one's given, why? Because you're following the principle, the precept. The other one is, you know, I love what Wayne said on January 1st of this year. He said, I dare y'all to try to outgive God. That rings in my head all the time. I hear Itchy Pop all the time. I call him Itchy Pop because he's having all these issues with his itching. So Itchy Pop, you know, he's the latest rap singer, Itchy Pop. Scratching to the oldies. Okay. I'm sorry, Wayne. Are you watching, Wayne? I do this out of love, bro. This is all love. Okay. And I know you do it to me, so I'm just helping. Okay. Now watch me go get me some stuff. He can go start calling me itchy pastor. Itchy pastor. All right. But I hear it all the time. Try to outgive him. This year, make it, I mean, this is before COVID. Do your best to try to outgive God. And I can tell you, in my life, I have never been able to outgive him. Ever. Ever. I don't mean like I give him 10, he gives me 20. No, no, that's not how it works. Let me just tell you this story. I told it on Tuesday night. I remember way on back in the day, and I'm going to hurry up. Way on back in the day, I'm going to cut it short. Beverly, she was saying, we need to start tithing God. We've just been going to church for a couple months. I said, I'm not tithing. I'm not giving that church money for that preacher to ride around in his car. And if you come think about it, his car only had, it had four wheels, but only three of them worked. He had some wire tying down the back things. I mean, it weren't like he was riding around in some Cadillac laid back like this. I said, I'm not just doing that for him to live in the lap of luxury. Lap of, yeah. Now I know better. But just, that's what I should tell her. No. And she kept saying, this ain't about the church. This is about us and our relationship with God. We need to tithe. And I said, I'm not tithing. So she would tithe whatever money she got for groceries or whatever, paying bills, she would tithe it to God. And finally one night, and I cut the story very short, I told her, I said, okay, I won't tell you what led up to it, but God showed me that I should prove him. And so that Friday when I got the paycheck, I told my wife, the very first thing I want you to do when you get a paycheck is I want you to tithe the church. She said, really? I said, really? She said, you're not going to change your mind? I said, please write it before I do. When we did it, DC, who ate like three babies, I weren't sure how we were going to finish out the week with his formula. He had to have a special formula. And I drove back and forth to Procter & Gamble at least once a day, didn't chalk a Wendy, and I had a full tank of gas, but I weren't sure how much more gas I could get that week. And we really hadn't bought all our groceries. And then I thought about that as the plate come by and the usher come by. When the usher come by, I thought, wait a minute, formula, gas, snacks at work, groceries, snacks at work. And when the plate come by, I went, and Linda, not Linda, Beverly, because in fact, Beverly, before she died, before I was even a minister, this is my very first tithe. She had to grab my hand and say, let go, son. And so I went. And I said, there goes the groceries. And there goes the formula. It's very expensive. And there goes the gas. And I dropped it in the plate. And I said, God, you said prove you. Today's the day. And when we walked out to the car, somebody had gone in my car and filled it with food. Nobody knew what I was doing but just me and Beverly. There was food and there was stuff from the garden. There was so much stuff that I couldn't even put Beverly in D.C. in the car. And I went, whoa! I mean, I look like Beverly Hillbillies riding down the road with all the stuff. And I'm sitting there in the house going, this is crazy. Wow. And then Bert Boyd calls me up and says, I want you to come over for supper. I said, okay. He said, just come on. I went over, and my favorite meal at the time was barbecue spare ribs. And guess what he had on the grill? Barbecue spare ribs. Whoa. We come back home. And I said, that can't be good. That's the back door. There's a ditch between us and the next house. That can't be good. And it was my crazy cousin. She had a whole case of that special formula that DC drank. She had a son that was a few months older than DC. She said, can you please help me out? I said, how can I help you out? She says, Stephen don't like this. It makes him sick at his stomach. The doctor said, get rid of it. But it's good. It's in date. And I was trying to find it. Do y'all think y'all could use this? And it was a whole case. It lasted about 2 or 3 weeks. A whole case of that special, special diet that DC had to have. And so by the time the next week come around, Beverly said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to put tithe in the church. She said, well, last week you said. I said, no. I approved him. And he shut me. She said, but I thought you weren't going to do it. I said, don't worry about what I said. Because what I said was I was just being crazy. God, I proved God. God showed me what he could do. And that was the beginning of a lifetime of tithing. God showed me what he could do. And it was very powerful. So here we go. Watch this. So, again. Oh, everybody got pushed the button. I'm sorry. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy. Wait a minute. I paid my tithe. I did this and that, and I gave my tithe. I don't pay it. I gave my tithe, and I'm still having problems. Let's look these words up. In the Hebrew, rebuke doesn't mean stop it dead in its tracks. What it means is to corrupt or ruin. There's a difference of stopping it dead in its tracks and corrupting and ruining. If you take Isaiah 54:17, it says that no weapon formed against thee shall prosper.